Welcome to CMDA Matters, and I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp. Today, my guest is Dr. Paul Warrick. He's a head and neck surgeon in central Indiana who's taken on leadership of our CMDA medical malpractice ministry. And he's being helped by an experienced team of our CMDA members who themselves have had their own experiences with medical malpractice. This ministry team is a group of seasoned medical professionals who have purposely made themselves available to other Christ followers like you in healthcare through supporting peer-to-peer relationships. Dr. Warrick shares with us today some sobering statistics about just how common medical malpractice is experienced in several different medical specialties. You'll hear from Paul a testimony of walking through the valley of the shadow of professional death, so to speak, in the midst of a medical malpractice lawsuit arising from an airway complication in one of his own pediatric surgical patients. But in the midst of the fog and pain, he found help from Christ followers who had been through similar experiences and were willing to give Dr. Paul help and needed hope during really difficult times in his surgical practice. I believe that you just might find Dr. Warrick's transparency and his openness in this testimony that follows. It will be a welcome respite for you or a partner or a colleague you know who's going through a similar experience. Let's get right to my conversation with ENT surgeon Dr. Paul Warrick. Well, I am excited to have today on CMDA Matters, Dr. Paul Warrick, who is in solo private practice. He's an otolaryngologist, a head and neck surgeon who works in Lafayette, Indiana, a place where I actually spent a couple of years growing up while my father was at Purdue. He's been in practice for 16 years, entirely in the United States. He enjoys seeing medicine as a unique method for ministry and treating patients of all ages and both genders. He has an equal love for discussions with patients in the office and for operating in the head and neck region. Paul received his training at the University of Toronto as an undergraduate and for his residency, and then was at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario for medical school. Paul senses a special sense of passion to serve fellow colleagues suffering in the wake of a medical malpractice event or an unexpected complication. In his spare time, Paul enjoys playing golf, running, singing, and playing guitar. Sounds like my kind of guy. He's also involved in a collaboration between a CMDA student chapter at IUPUI, and that's actually where I went to medical school, and the church where he and his family attend. He and his wife, Rebecca, live in Indianapolis, Indiana, with their two sons. Welcome, Dr. Warrick, to the program today.
Mike, what a delight and what an opportunity. I just want to thank you so much for inviting us here.
Well, you have been, for how long, the chair of our Medical Malpractice Commission at CMDA?
I took over about a year ago when the opportunity arose. The prior director, Wendy, put out a request asking someone else to take the reins. And I said, well, if no one else is willing, I would be very glad to.
And what prompted that interest in joining that commission and being part of a group of probably mostly physicians who are helping our members who are experiencing going through a malpractice lawsuit?
For me, it was just the fact that I went through much of my experiences without the awareness that CMDA had the ministry to malpractice experiencing doctors at all. And that was a failing of mine. I just didn't look. I didn't think of that as a possibility. And I thought, well, I'd like to increase awareness for the next person in line who might find themselves in this position.
Sort of to pay it forward, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, tell us about your own experience with medical malpractice. The two of us, we had a regularly scheduled call and talked a couple of months ago, and I got to know just a little bit about you. And I'm just astounded, Paul, that your background and history as an ENT surgeon involved with litigation is not too dissimilar from my own experience over the course of 20 plus years in general surgery.
The thing is that we all have events in medicine And I would say, especially in surgery, where things go wrong, and many of those times, there's precious little that can be done to avoid it from happening. But certainly, there are events that happen that you look back upon and you're like, wow, I'm sorry that those events ever happened. But complications occur. It is part of what we do. I think that it's heartening to know that from recent paper in New England Journal, 2016, reviewed what are the highest risk specialties, what are the highest risk scenarios. Neurosurgery, I believe, came out top amongst surgical specialties, but virtually all surgical specialties were not far behind, with about a 25% risk per year of being named in a suit. And you know that on average, you're going to end up having a suit or named in a suit about every 5 to 7 years. And that pediatrics among medical specialties is the highest risk. We all know that OBGYN is among medical surgical specialties the highest risk. Those numbers really ring true in my experience as I have been involved with this ministry, spoken to colleagues, and understood what is behind the curtain of their medical surgical experience.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned at the top of the list are neurosurgeons. Many of our listeners, and maybe you as well, Paul, will be familiar with the Global Leadership Summit that's come out of Willow Creek for a number of years. And I attended with some of my staff here at CMDA last year. And the first speaker is Pastor Greg Rochelle. And the sort of the theme of his talk is was a shortened word, GETMO, good enough to move on, and was encouraging leaders to not aim for perfection, because you just spend so much time trying to get perfect that you neglect other important things in your ministry and in your leadership life. But then he made this qualification, good enough to move on unless you're my brain surgeon. Unless you're my brain surgeon. And so obviously the expectation, and what at CMDA, we have a few brain surgeons out there and a few other surgeons, as you've mentioned, and the expectation is perfection. And yet we're imperfect, even highly trained professionals. And so I'm really glad you shared about the New England Journal of Medicine article. That's been my own experience as a general surgeon. I had was named in 4 cases and had 3 that were significant over the course of a 20-year career. So I think I fall right into those averages.
Yes, and similarly, I was named when one in residency, and I remember how hard that was on me with absolutely no perspective, where a child unfortunately died of a rare condition, but the entire chart got named, right down to anesthesia, every intensivist who saw the patient, every surgeon, and all the residents who were involved, every name. And it was just a wide swath, and I had no idea where to file that. I thought this might be the end for me. I had no idea what that meant. And I, you know, it was only with time and perspective that I realized that this was just an unfortunate constellation of events that happened to a very unfortunate child. And I was just in that storm. I happened to be standing there when the storm went by. That's about all that it really meant. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an enlightening thing for young trainees to become aware of, that, you know, you're going to walk through some storms that you just cannot foresee. By nature of what we do, a dearly loved colleague of mine who has been a great mentor to me often says, it's what we do. And behind those few words is a great deal of depth of meaning. You do have to kind of wear it sometimes. You just kind of have to take it home to the Lord and on bended knee, just say, God, you know all of what I don't know. And I just need you to help me day by day to get through this. So for residents out there, I think just know that if you get named, it is part of ordinary training for that to be. Further along, early in practice, I had a patient who had a very painful procedure, and I think that chronic pain sometimes skews people's coping. And, you know, with time, she kind of started to see me in the crosshairs of the reasons for her chronic pain. And that was, I think, a time where I had to kind of come to grips with the realization of what I can and what I can't control. And I did learn to cope a little bit better that time, but it was still really stressful. And I did get deposed. That was my first deposition for my own work. you know, all the things that they say and a plaintiff's attorney says on paper about you. I've since been seeing a very good recommendation. Don't even read a deposition when it arrives in your office. It's absolutely not going to help you cope at all. I think that's actually pretty good advice. And just let your defense attorney pour through it and then give you your directions about what to do. But we got through that, and ultimately that case was dismissed, and I felt badly for her, but I didn't really think that it was anything that I could have done substantially differently. And it was the usual goings-on of practice. And I thought of how many other bullets I've dodged along the way where I was doing the ordinary goings-on of my practice, too, where nothing was brought up. So you just sort of thank you, God, and help me to keep practicing day by day with my eyes on you. Further into practice, had a very hard thing where I was operating on a child, and we had an airway complication that I did not foresee. I felt that at the time, in the moments as it was happening and in the days following, that I was doing everything that I reasonably should. And yet, I think everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And ultimately, that child had an airway complication that required revision surgery at a major academic center. That was very, very hard for that family. And I felt really burdened by harm that I had inflicted on a child, even unwittingly and unintentionally, and with every good desire to help the child.
And I think you told me before that you had a son or daughter of your own about the same age at that time.
Every morning we had a breakfast nook, and he was the same age. And as I looked at him each morning, I was just torn up. And this is where it really gets raw. I do remember from our listeners, I think just to know, there were moments there when it was at its darkest, when every single bite of cereal for breakfast, I was just saying, in the next bite, I'm not going to shoot myself. I'm not going to end my life. I'm going to just keep on going. Because I would hear my son's voice as normal, and I would know that this other child's airway and voice were being affected by the operation I'd done. And I just felt terrible. And I didn't really know at that time where it would go.
As a part of the ministry for the Medical Malpractice Commission that you're now chairing and have been a part of, I mean, what sort of things have you seen, the various effects that have been in some of the Christians in healthcare that you've interacted with and that you've counseled and encouraged?
One of the key elements that I found was having someone to take your hand and walk with you through it. And it's usually not your spouse, because your spouse is almost too close to the problem to help. Lots of times I think that your spouse wants to help but feels weighted down by the whole situation, not really having perspective. For me, it was a very dear friend, Monty, who I'll, you know, always cherish through this life, and he's got lots of high fives coming his way in heaven too. But Monty and I went through Job and studied Job that year when it was hardest for me to work each day. And I thank the Lord I never missed a day of work. I never canceled an OR list. I kept on going. I did shuffle a case or two to that academic center that year just because I felt that it was the right thing to do and I wasn't sure I had the confidence. But virtually everything else I hung on to, and I just kept getting back on the horse each day by the grace of God. And then I went on a mission trip to Kenya and met a colleague there who was retired. He'd had his own malpractice history. I didn't know that at the time, but he was questioning me, and I was explaining how I'd had an event that was really a hard thing for me to cope with. You know, he said, well, do you want to talk about it? And I said, well, you know, I'm really not at liberty to. My defense attorney, my risk management company have all told me I can't talk to anyone other than my wife or perhaps a pastor, and that's about it, for risk of it being a deposed or a discoverable conversation. And he said, well, how about this? How about I tell you about my experiences? And he went on to explain how he had had a very significant complication that led to the death of a patient, that he had had a lawyer from out of state swoop in and called him to task on it, and he got a subpoena, and he got deposed, and ultimately had to settle that case for more than $1 million. And I just almost immediately just felt lighter. I felt, is it true that I'm not the only one affected by this?
Wow.
In that time, I remember just, I would cry myself to sleep night upon night, just saying, God, I don't know what to do, but I need your help. It was just really special that he reached out to help. And then later, my wife and I made a decision that I was in a tough situation there. I didn't have any call coverage, and it was pretty stressful for our family that I was virtually never not on call. And I felt like I could get sucked right back into the same vortex again. We made a decision that we should relocate. And as I did that, I used, by the way, another advertisement, CMDA's service in identifying places for practice. And that was extremely helpful to me at that time. And one interview that I had in Texas with a colleague there, he also shared exactly the same circumstance. I said, you know, I can't really talk about much. I just wanted you to know that I have a case ongoing because I wanted to be upfront with him. If I were to come as partner, I didn't want to blindside him with anything that might come to light later. And he said, well, you know what? I've had a case, and I've had a case settled, and here's what happened. And he went on to explain to me how he'd had a serious complication after sinus surgery that had changed someone's life. And that, again, I just thought, God, thank you. I didn't even see this ministry coming my way, but I needed it so bad. For me, that was just life-changing. I just thought, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can get back on this horse and not be wounded by this forever. And I really was encouraged, and I went on to take this job in Indianapolis. And I've been really, really blessed to be in a group practice for 7 years. Recently, I've decided to do my own thing. I just have that bug. I can't help myself there, Mike. But I love the fact that God led me to a Christian practice, a group practice, and I really was blessed by the mentoring and the support of that group. As many colleagues were in their latter years of their experience and had seen this in their own practice, had many malpractice events themselves, had a huge amount of perspective on it, and this is where this line of it's what we do comes from. And I'm just so blessed by that leading of the Lord over the course of time and the use of CMDA in a number of spheres to help me get to this point so that I can now say, you know, the Lord doesn't waste his wounds. I am in a place now where it's a healed wound. It's a wound. I still am sorry that it's there. I still wonder and think about patients who have had outcomes under my care that weren't what I was all aiming for.
Talk to us a little bit about what is the role now of an experienced peer support person?
I think just that, just to kind of listen, just to support, and to shortly into the conversation lead that person towards the peer support person's own experience so that we can just dodge the whole question of whether anything discoverable is coming out of this conversation and get to learning vicariously from someone else how to cope with trouble. It's an open season if you're talking about me in a private line about my experiences, because, you know, I'm at liberty to do that with these cases I've mentioned, because they're closed cases. They're done. And ones that are open are just harder. And when you're earlier in your practice life, it just seems much more of a weight in your life than when you're further along and you gain some perspective. So I think those are key elements of the peer support model we live by.
What are some healthy ways of responding to any malpractice lawsuit?
So obviously, take it to the Lord in prayer and next to your spouse, and just, you know, understand that the Lord knows the end from the beginning and is right there with you. This is not a surprise to him at all. It's part of what he wants to build into you, and he's going to make something of this that is important and meaningful in your practice. Second, get in touch with your risk management group from your malpractice carrier so that you can understand what the next step should be from their perspective, follow their guidelines about with whom you should speak and when to meet with a defense attorney and start the process of how to defend your side of the events that are being brought forward in a subpoena or a malpractice case, and or even just a suspicious event, a case that worries someone in your system about that possibility. And then next, you can talk to the CMDA malpractice ministry at any juncture. If it's a brand new event just dropped in your lap today, if you've had a meeting already with your risk management group, if you have met with your defense attorney, if you've been deposed, if you're going to settle, if you're going to trial, and if you've already completed your trial, any one of those possibilities, we are glad to help come alongside, encourage, and diffuse the isolation and shame mentality that comes along with this whole event in our secular medical societies.
Thank you, Dr. Warwick, for taking the time to be with us in the middle of a clinical practice day. Trust that God will bless you and expand, enlarge the borders of the ministry of the medical malpractice ministry. We look forward to further chats with you and maybe even cross paths at the national convention.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Well, Dr. Warwick's experience is not unique. As you heard him explain that many healthcare professionals, they will face a malpractice lawsuit at some point in time during their career, and the reasons for that are legion, whether it's a medical error, surgical complication, misdiagnosis, so many different reasons, misunderstanding, or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, as he mentioned, being a resident and named on a case. I had the same experience myself as a second-year resident. We want you to know, and Dr. Warwick and his ministry group want you to know, that we are here to help. You can access CMDA's Medical Malpractice Ministry on our website at cmda.org/medical-malpractice. That's /medical-malpractice. If you're listening to this program on the web, you will find that link associated with this CMDA Matters podcast. It will also be in the monthly recap email for the month of August. We believe this is a great resource for encouragement if you or a colleague are going through malpractice litigation. Our website also has some very practical information on how to appropriately deal with a pending lawsuit as a medical or dental professional in practice right now. We also have a wonderful practical how-to guide here at CMDA that touches on dozens of topics relating to how to successfully represent Christ in a medical practice. In their book, Practice by the Book, A Christian Doctor's Guide to Living and Serving, Dr. Gene Rudd and our former president, Dr. Al Weir, talk about finding joy and purpose in your calling to practice medicine. Due to requests from international colleagues, I've been hand-delivering copies of this book over the last couple of years around the globe. But in your case, if you're listening, it can be delivered to your door, not by Dr. Mike Chupp, but by FedEx or whomever, by going to our website and ordering that resource at cmda.org/store. If you are a resident and searching for a practice of like-minded Christian medical or dental professionals, or if you are looking to relocate or change practices, we have an experienced team led by Mr. Alan Vickers, and this team has been working for many years, actually probably a couple of decades, to assist Christian healthcare professionals like you to find opportunities in most states and in many different healthcare specialties. This includes physician assistants and nurse practitioners. You can find CMDA placement services at cmda.org/placement. I'd I'd like to invite you now to listen in to a special segment that we're calling Stewardship Matters. Mr. Jamie Campbell, who's our Chief Operating Officer, and our Vice President for Stewardship, George Courtney, will be discussing how stewardship matters even in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic.
Welcome to this edition of Stewardship Matters. I'm Jamie Campbell, Chief Operating Officer here at CMDA. I'm joined today by my good friend George Courtney, our Vice President of Stewardship and Legacy Giving. Welcome, George.
Thanks, Jamie. It's good to be with you again.
When Paul was with me in May, we talked about the health benefits of living generously, and he shared a story of one of our members' response to COVID-19, which was to actually live more generously.
Yes, Jamie, isn't that an amazing story that we heard last time? I wanted to share with you also that over my career, and probably over yours in stewardship and fundraising, that we've had the blessing numerous times of watching individuals live generously. The thing that stands out to me about these many lives that I've watched is that not all of them, and in fact, many of them may not be even considered wealthy in this present world. A favorite Bible verse of mine out of the book of Proverbs that reminds me about living generously is found in Proverbs 11 and verse 25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed.
That's so true. There's so many great verses about stewardship and generosity in the book of Proverbs. And let me mention also that being generous is not always linked directly to giving. It could also include encouraging those around us by extending a little extra grace and understanding.
Absolutely. We certainly are living in a time in which a little bit of extra grace and understanding would go a long ways. Today, Jamie, I wanted to point our listeners to a couple of resources they may find helpful in their stewardship journey. We recently hosted a webinar that was titled Four Principles and Three Strategies for Making It Through Uncertain Economic Times. Russ Crossan, the Executive Vice President for Ronald Blue Trust, and Andrew Clement, a private wealth advisor for Ronald Blue Trust, joined us and did an excellent job at pointing us to some powerful insights that would help anyone make it through these uncertain times. The first of those was spend less than you make. Then get rid of all debt. The third was diversify your investment. And finally, continue to be generous.
It was a great webinar. I was happy to be part of that. And I really think our members and friends would benefit from it. How could people access that if they weren't able to watch it live?
Yes, Jamie, the entire webinar is available on the CMDA Learning Center. This is a new learning center that's available to all of our members, and it can be found at cmda.org/learning. This can be found under the section marked Webinars.
And while this is not a CE course, our listeners may be interested to know that we do have continuing education courses on the new Learning Center, and those are absolutely free for CMDA members.
That's right, Jamie. I've heard so many good things about the new Learning Center. The other resource that I wanted to mention is Russ Crossan's new book, Your Money Made Simple, The Key to Financial Freedom. It would be our honor to provide a complimentary copy to any of our listeners today. If they would like to request a copy, all you would have to do is contact us at stewardship@cmda.org or call us at 888-230-2637.
Thanks, George. That would be a great resource to put in people's hands for sure. And thank you to our many members and donors that strive to honor God in their families, their practices, and the stewardship of all that God has entrusted to them.
For our State Public Policy Watch this month, we have been following a bill going through the California State Legislature, which actually seeks to fund gender-affirming procedures indiscriminately across the state of California. We have been working at CMDA to mobilize our California members to contact their senators in opposition to this bill because we recognize the potential dangers and long-term impact of puberty blockers and opposite-sex hormones, medicalizing youth and children and potentially forever compromising their fertility. The California Senate will likely conduct a final vote on Assembly Bill 2218 by the end of August. So if you're in California, I just urge you to contact your legislator and please pray with us over this bill. If you'd like to read CMDA's policy statement on gender-affirming procedures and a host of other bioethical topics, just go to cmda.org/position-statements. That's position-statements. Well, I've run out of time today, but I wanted to leave you with some encouraging words from King David in Psalm 34, starting with verse 17, where David tells us, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person, yes, you as a healthcare professional and those on your team and in your environment there where you practice, you're going to face many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time." We may face the reality of a medical error, a complication in surgery, certainly an unintended outcome, like we heard from Dr. Warrick. And so practicing with integrity requires just trusting God and leaning on His peace that passes understanding, even when we are suffering the ire and the scrutiny of the legal system. We know that matters to you, and so it matters to CMDA. And CMDA Matters. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.